following interview with Glenn Dennis was held on Monday morning, December 9, 1991, in the offices of the Roswell Daily Record. Also sitting around the table was Walter Haut and Max Littell. Monday morning, December 9 in Roswell, going over to the Roswell Daily Record. I'm talking to Glenn Dennis. It's Monday, December 9th. So you say you retired. As I understand it, you worked for the, at the time of this incident, you were working.
I worked at Ballard Funeral Home in Roswell.
At is it Ballard?
Ballard.
Yeah. And then you later left to set up, go in business for yourself.
Yes.
And then you retired about when?
Oh, about 1970.
See you folks out here. Did you talk to Billy Cox? Did he interview you?
Talk with him.
Yeah. This is a reporter from Florida.
He's supposed to be with what newspaper is he with? What is he with? Yesterday?
It could be. I'm not sure. It's a no, I don't think
I
it's.
I talked to some man from Florida, from USA Today. Florida, USA Today.
Well, it may have been. My friend just sent me this sheet from it, and it's a Sunday issue, and so it's hard to tell which newspaper it is.
Yeah.
But this would have been about a month or a month and a half ago.
I've probably talked to him. I imagine that's the one, but I thought he told me he was from USA Today.
Well, it
he talked to Walter, and
yes.
Randall asked me, somebody called and asked me to talk to him.
I see.
I imagine that's the same man.
Okay. Well, I'll show you the quote in here, and I'd like to, there's some differences from some of the quotes or statements by you in the Randall Schmidt book. So, where does one study to become a mortician?
Well, they have colleges in St. Louis, Missouri. Back in my day, they had one in St. Louis. They had one in San Francisco.
Where did you study?
I studied in San Francisco, College of Mortuary Science, and it was affiliated with the University of San Francisco.
And how many year course is it?
Well, it's you go straight through. It's a 2-year course is what it is, but you don't take any breaks. You just go straight through.
I see. And do you study some medicine and the?
You have anatomy, pathology, bacteriology. You have all of the sciences.
I see.
That you would have on a pre-med, same thing as a pre-med course.
Now, does this qualify you to conduct an autopsy or not?
Well, you work on autopsies every day. You know, in college you work on them every day.
Mm-hmm.
Out there we worked Worth County, where they did all the autopsies, all the indigent people and all of us. Violent deaths and everything, that's what we worked on every day.
So, according to my calculations, rough calculations, you were about 22 at the time of this incident.
Right.
And so you'd just been working at Ballard for a short time? I mean, you got...
Oh, no, I started work there when I was real young and a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even before you went to...
I worked there for a long time.
I see.
I used to wash cars, clean, run back caskets. I was just a kid in high school still.
I see.
Like a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of years.
And then about when did you leave Ballard to go into business for yourself?
Well, it was about 62, somewhere in there.
I see.
We'd like to have a copy of everything you've got. We'd like to have it right here in this so people can make up their own mind.
Fine.
That's what we'd like to have.
When you say everything I've got, it sort of reminds me three or four or six. teacher saying, "Dear Mr. Class, my name is so-and-so. I'm in the eighth grade in high school. For my science project, I selected UFOs. Please send me everything you've got on UFOs."
Well,
and I'm tempted to write back, "Please send a large 16-wheel van." So, as I said to Walter and Max, anything that I have dealing with this or anything else is at your disposal. Now, if I have to Xerox 1,000, 2,000 pages and pay 10 cents a page, you know, I'd like to be reimbursed. A few hundred pages, I'll pay for myself.
I think there's something else that you point out, Phil, the fact that some of this stuff is halfway personal, where someone writes him a personal letter of, "Here, Phil, would you send me a copy of this, that, or the next thing?" Or
somebody writes me a personal letter saying, "I have evidence that ufologist X is a liar or a con man or something like that." Now, I would never put that strong a statement in writing, because what that person may think is evidence would not stand up in court. Well, I would not want to make a copy of such a letter and, you know, and have you put her on display. But any of my material is open to you, is available to you, and I have, back in the late 70s, I got copies of all the CIA documents, papers on UFOs. So, as I say, I'm anxious to cooperate. I said that if and when you open up, and if you want me to come down, along with Stanton Friedman or Randall or Schmidt or Moore.
I've got some more questions, but I want you to understand something else. Max and I and our organization here, we're not saying that any of us have never said that we've seen UFOs.
I understand, yes.
I mean, something happened out there, but we want the government to come and tell us, by God, what it was. Now, we know it wasn't any weather balloons. These old ranchers picked up, and I've seen a lot of weather balloons in my time. And I've worked on a lot of plane crashes. And I know different materials when I see it. And I do a lot of sculpture, and I work with hot metals and everything else. We've never said that we've saw UFO, we've never seen alien bodies and all that. So I just want you to know, set it straight, the record before we go.
And I so appreciate the chance. I appreciate Walt, as I told you when you called me on the phone, you know, to get together, to meet you. I had hoped to get together with you. I wasn't sure whether you would, you know, because of my view. But Glenn, if we could, there is disagreement in this. This is a story from Billy Cox. I made photocopies and cut it out. And here, and you say that to the best of your knowledge, you did. He did interview you by telephone.
I can't guarantee it at long distance, and I don't know, but anyway, I'm sure that it would. But he told me it was with USA Today of Florida.
Yeah.
And big newspaper deal is what he told me now. What's the headline on that? Does it tell you what paper that is?
Yeah. Well, it's from Florida Today.
Florida Today, well, maybe that was it.
Yeah. Now, and this that I have here is from there. And it quotes you as saying that later that afternoon, however, Dennis treated an airman who sustained superficial injuries in a motorcycle wreck in town. Dennis put the man in his ambulance and drove to the base infirmary. Now, I had never heard that was the motivation. Are you a doctor? Are you a medical doctor?
No, but we got the only ambulance service at the time. Back for years and years of the all the military services. Mortuary services.
Yeah, mortuary services, right.
No, I'm not a doctor, I'm not anything. I was just a dumb ambulance driver, that's all.
Well, but in the Schmidt Randall and they interviewed you.
Well, I think I know what you're getting at. You want an argument with Schmidt and Randall, I know this. Well, I said, I know what you're coming to. I mean, I know why you're doing this, because...
No, let me explain. I'm doing this because I don't want to quote Schmidt Randall or Billy Cox as to the circumstance.
Well,
I go to the horse's mouth. That's my...
What I'm telling you, the way it was. Now, this book was already at the printers when I gave my story, because I didn't give it for a long time. Anyway, when I finally did give it, their book was already at the printers.
Uh-huh.
And they had to call and do some overnight changes, and some of that in their book, I'm sure it might be the way they understood it, but it's not.
Did they come down and interview you personally, one or the other of them?
Yeah.
Which one do you remember?
I think both of them was here, wasn't it? I think both of them were here.
And did they use a tape recorder during the interview? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was taped.
Because here it says, Randall and Schmidt, the mortician was told there were casualties. The mortician, assuming there had been a plane crash, climbed into the hearse and drove out to the base.
Yeah, well, that was incorrect.
That's not correct.
My story, just like it was, I went out there on an ambulance call, and that's when I ran into it.
But what about the... So, did you tell them about this young airman that you brought out to the hospital?
Sure, it was in my tape. I told them just like it was.
I see.
I don't know how they did this. I don't know how, but that's not correct. You know?
But their account is not correct because they forgot to mention the airman, you mean? Or?
Well, I didn't go out there because I heard there was a crash. I went out there on an ambulance call, and that's when I became involved in that.
I see. Now, earlier here, they report that you received calls at the mortuary inquiring about embalming techniques. Is that part of their story correct?
That part, yes, that's correct.
And,
the arterial system, you catch these personally. I made diagrams of them myself, the best I remember, and I have a real good friend, Walter Hinn, that was a professional artist, and I said, help me with a con.
What is his last name again?
Walter Hinn, H-E-N-N.
H-E-N-N.
Anyway, Walter did help me with these sketches to get them correct. I'm not an artist. I
want you to ignore me.
I do a lot of sculpture, but I'm not an artist.
Oh, you do? Is that right?
That's simple.
Well, if you do sculpturing, you have some artistic talent.
Yeah, but
that's how I get along so well with people.
I'm not an artist per se. I'm a sculptor.
All right. Now, so did she give you this sketch?
Right.
And she didn't have any concern about, by this time she surely knew that it was a secret, and you're a civilian.
Okay, and I'll tell you, I'm just going to tell you, before she did this or anything, she says, you have to give me I've got Alzheimer's. I'm a trap safe, Max, you know this.
Sure.
No, it was a sacred oath. You have to give me a sacred oath that you will not reveal my name or that I did this or anything else, that you got this for me, because I will get in very serious trouble, very serious trouble. And I said, what is that? What do you mean by this kind of an oath? She says, like cutting off both of your arms.
Like what?
Cutting off both of your arms and being condemned to hell. And that's what it is. What you got to understand about this nurse was she was raised in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. I was raised in Iowa. I know where St. Paul is.
She, from the day she was born, she was involved in the Catholic. She was raised in all the Catholic schools and kindergartens or whatever the Catholics have. I don't know. I'm not sure. But she never went to public school at all.
Yes.
Oh, she was raised in Catholic people. She was going to be a nun. She had no other, her life, her family, that this is what she was going to be. She wanted to be in the education part of it. What she wanted to be. And about 2 years into her final training in college and education, she go to mass every day, and she felt God wanted her to be a nurse, to get in to help the people. She only wanted to work with children.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she changed her major, because she felt like this is what God wanted her to do. Now, this woman could not make up stories like this. She has only been commissioned. She'd only taken her state boards, only been commissioned 3 months, and Roswell was her first station, and she'd been there less than 3 months.
But she was in the service. She was a member of the Army.
They paid part of it. You're in college and commissioner as a second lieutenant.
And how had you happened to meet her?
We had the ambulance service, right? I've already told you. When you go out to make an ambulance call, you put them on your stretcher, you use your equipment, your splints, you use everything that you have, oxygen, everything. You take these into the hospital. You may be there for an hour and a half before then you can take them off your stretcher, because they may x-ray on your stretcher. If somebody's real bad, they won't make the removal.
Mm-hmm.
They will do everything they can, because you don't go around moving patients. So
yes.
So you're out there from an hour and a half, maybe sometime 2 hours in the hospital. Well, during that time, you meet all these people. You meet the doctors, you meet the nurses, because you're out there working with them.
Did you date her?
Oh, no, no.
She
had no interest in men whatsoever. She was going to, her whole life was planned. She was going to be a nun. That's what
she did. She become a nun, do you know?
I don't have tell you her name. I've told you all I'm going to tell you on her.
Okay, well, I'm not...
I'd like to just drop the subject on her because that's what the story is.
I see. And, again, the name of the artist who drew this, I have it on.
He was just a friend of mine, and I started drawing it, and he was professional, and I said, I want you to... It would look a little better if you touch it up, because we were talking about the concave nose and all that. Mine didn't look quite right. And that's what it did. He did.
Now, this happened in 47.
Right.
And you sat on the story. You said nothing until...
got out somewhere, I don't know, but I kept getting people wanting to know about it, like Unsolved Mysteries and different ones of these people, and,
if you kept it secret,
but my name came out on some list in Washington somewhere, was the way I understood, that they found my name on something to do in Washington.
Well, now, who told you that? Because I've never heard that. You know, it's not in here. And it's not in the Moore, is that?
Well, Stan Freeman said that he knew about it years before you ever got a hold of me. Smith knew it years before you ever got a hold of me. A guy by the name of Stone.
Clifford Stone.
Clifford Stone.
Talked to him here.
Said that he knew about it a long time before probably anybody did about it. But anyway, I was getting calls I've never discussed it with anybody. Walter and I've been friends for years. We've never even discussed all this. Period. I just didn't want to. I've seen Walter going everywhere and he's in all these papers and all this thing. I didn't want to be bothered. I have a very private life. I like to keep it that way. And I did this. My wife is the only one to talk me into it. She said, well,